Good morning. Good to see you here today. We're glad that you've joined us on this this beautiful Lord's Day. Don't you just love Christmas? I love everything about Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas? Don't the trees look nice in here, by the way? Yes, I want to thank everyone. I started counting out in the foyer and in here. I don't know, there's like 13, 15 trees set up. And it just looks beautiful. So thanks to anyone and everyone that had a part in decorating and making things look so good. Some lady actually said to me after first service, she said, "Pastor John, you've never looked so good in the pulpit." I think she was talking about the trees, though. I'll take it. I didn't question her because I didn't want to know exactly what she meant. I just want to just hang on to that for the rest of the day. But we're glad that you are here. You know, speaking of trees, have you gotten your tree up yet at home? Let me see your hand. Yeah, some of you, a lot of you. How many of you haven't gotten it up yet? How many of you watched your wife put it up? There you go. I used to love going to JB Tree Farm. You ever go to JB Tree Farm, get your tree? This is a picture of our girls, actually, years ago. We used to love riding the wagon out to get our trees. Actually, somebody texted me yesterday wanting to know they heard me say my rules for picking a Christmas tree sometime past. And so I sent it to them, and I thought, hey, I need to share that at church tomorrow. So in the spirit of picking out your tree, just to remind you, I used to tell my girls we'd go get our Christmas tree, and I said, you know, it's just like picking a Christmas tree, there's rules. And the same rules apply to picking a husband, okay? So for all you that have kids or haven't gotten your tree yet, here's the rules for picking a Christmas tree or a husband. All right, here you go. Number one, never choose the first one you see, even if you think it's perfect. Okay? I used to tell my girls, you know, you'd run out, oh, here's one, Daddy. And no. You never choose the first one you see, no matter how good it looks. And then I'd say, hey, and that also applies for picking a husband, okay? You always need to discard the first one, okay? Number two, I used to say, never make your selection in the dark. You know, it might seem self-explanatory, but for some people, they need to know this. And, you know, you can't find one, and maybe it gets dark. And you know, I used to say, listen, you can't make your choice in the dark. Let's go home and come back when there's more daylight. And by the way, that applies when you're looking for your husband too, okay? Number three, I used to tell my kids, remember, no amount of lights or decorations will cover major flaws. Oh, it'll be okay. I'll get it home once we decorate it. Have you ever said that? Once I get it decorated, and then you notice this tree you've got one giant clump of tinsel in one area because there was nothing there. And I used to tell the kids that, and that applies to picking a husband too. Number four, no, once you cut it down and take it home, it's yours. All right? You know, when you chop a tree down, you can't, like, take it back and put it back in the ground. And, you know, and the same is true, or should be true, with picking a husband as well. Number five, realize that it always looks better in the field than when you get it at home. How many of you ever done that? You cut down a Christmas tree and you take it home and you put it in the sand and you put it in the corner and you're starting to decorate it and you say to your wife or you say to your husband, is this the tree we picked? It just looks different, right? And you can make the parallel there with the husband thing. Number six, is that what I'm at? Number six? Yeah, number six, never fight over a tree that someone else wants. Okay, I mean, have you ever found a tree like simultaneously with somebody else, or have you ever had a boyfriend or a girlfriend that someone else is interested in? Never fight over a tree that somebody else wants. And then finally, I love this one. Finally, just let your mom pick it because that's the one you're going home with anyway. Okay, it was true in our house, and. You know, I've got two good son-in-laws, Mark and Nathan, and I think that this list that I started with my girls years ago is partly the reason why they made such good choices, okay? At least I tell myself that. I, I don't know. But anyway, in the spirit of Christmas, though, let's jump right in and let's continue talking about my God at Christmas. You remember last week we started with this passage about, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You know, it's amazing when you think about Christmas and our God at Christmas, kids and adults look at it totally different. And I think they even look at God different. For example, if you were to ask adults, what's the most important attribute or characteristic or character trait of God? What's the most important one? Most adults would tell you that it's their omnipotence. It's their power. You know, it's what God's able to do. That he can speak things into creation out of nothing, that he can redeem that which needs redemption, that God's power is the most important aspect of his nature. But if you ask a child that, most often they will not talk to you about God's power, about his omnipotence. They'll talk to you about his omnipresence, about his being able to be everywhere. You see, because to a child, the personal presence of a father and a mother make all the difference in the world. For example, remember when your kids were little and they would come in your bedroom and they'd say, you know what, I heard a noise and I'm scared. And maybe they're crying and you say, okay, sweetheart, and you calm them down and then you say, okay, go back to bed. No, I want to stay in here with you. So no, you need to go back. And maybe you even take them back, you walk them back over, you tuck them into bed, maybe you pray with them, you know, you get them settled down, and then you say, okay, sweetheart, I'll see you in the morning, and you go back to your bedroom, and when you get back to your bedroom, they're laying in your bed. Right? Because they don't want to be by themselves. You see, that's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that God does not want to leave us alone, that God wants us to understand that he is present with us. Now, if you were here last week, you know that we started with this idea of understanding our God at Christmas through the eyes of a child. And we talked about how God is for me. How God is for me. That the story, the message of Christmas is how God is for us. That God is our greatest cheerleader. And everything about Christmas is about God communicating this to us. Well, today, it's all about Emmanuel. You call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. You see, the presence of God is one of the most important things that we come to understand at Christmas. That God is not just all-powerful, but that God is everywhere. That God is not impersonal, but that he is personal. And that God is here with us. Presence makes all the difference in the world to a child. You know, have you ever left a child at home and they're afraid? But they're okay as long as you're there. Now, what's different when you're there? You're there. That's the difference. And see, at Christmas time, we understand, we come to appreciate this, not only that God is for us, but that God is with us. Matter of fact, let me show you a couple of passages of scriptures here that I think is just awesome. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, "Do not fear, I am with you." Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." We don't have to worry about being alone because God has promised that we will never be alone. God is with us. And what a most beautiful thing. You think about it. At Christmas, what makes Christmas most meaningful? When we're with those that we love and care about so very, very much. Just this morning, somebody said to me, they said, "Pastor John, are you gonna be with your kids on Christmas?" And I said, "No, we're not gonna be, you know, we saw them on Thanksgiving. We'll see them after Christmas, but we're not gonna see them at Christmas, on Christmas Day or before Christmas Day." And right away there was a tinge of sadness in my spirit and in my heart as I thought about, you know, that. Why? Because you want to be with them. And here's the thing, folks, that's what God demonstrates for us at Christmas, that he wants to be with us. But here's the thing, folks. Do we understand what his presence really means? In other words, let me ask it to you this way. How often do you have a moment with God? I mean, how often do you have a moment with God? I mean, we see that he says that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Do not be dismayed. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But how often do we have this moment with God? I mean, is it periodically? Is it occasionally? Is it regularly? Is it often? Is it many times each day? Because you see, folks, here, the real meaning of this is that God wants us to understand that He is with us always. But listen to this, folks. Just because God is with you doesn't mean that you are with Him. I think that it's altogether possible for that promise of God that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I believe that it's possible for those verses to be true, but for us not to realize His presence. Just because God is there with us doesn't mean that we are aware of His presence, that we see His working in our lives. So how often do you have this moment with God? You see, in reality, we should always be cognizant of the presence of God. And if we understand and realize that God is with us, then some things automatically happen. Number one, we talk to Him. We talk to Him. We pray to Him. I mean, how often do you talk to God? How often do you speak to Him? Do you talk to Him many times each day? Psalm 54, verse 2 says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth." You see, David understood how important this was. Now think about this for a moment. How is it that God talks to us, that God communicates to us? I think one of the ways is through His Word. I believe with all my heart that God has protected the validity and the power of His Word down through the ages. You know, we have 66 books that make up the Bible, and each book of the Bible has a particular viewpoint and a twist to the Word of God. But I think God has protected His Word down through the ages so that we would have it. So we need to hear Him talk to us through His Word. I think He also speaks through people. You know, through godly friends and who gives us godly advice. And if we pay attention to those folks and God sharing with us, we can hear from Him. We can hear Him talking to us. I think He speaks through circumstances of life. And if we can get beyond complaining about life and understand and ask, you know, God, what can you teach us through this situation that will make us better for you? He speaks to us through His Spirit. He said that He would not leave us alone, but that He would send a comforter, that we would have one to walk beside us. But here's the thing, folks. Just because God has said, you know, I've given you my word, I've put around you godly people, I'm speaking to you through circumstances. The Bible even talks about how the heavens declare His glory. That if we even listen to the creation of God, it speaks of His wonder and of His might. But just because all of those things are true, it doesn't mean that we hear Him. Or to say it another way, it doesn't mean that we listen to Him. I love Deuteronomy chapter 30. It says, "Listen to God's voice and hold fast to Him, for the Lord is your life." So I ask you today, not only do you hear Him, not only do you talk to Him, but do you listen to Him? Isaiah chapter 30 says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. We must understand and appreciate that at Christmas time, Through the faith of a child, we can understand what it means when he said, call him Emmanuel, for it is God with us. And if God is with us, then I don't have to fear because of him. He will never leave me or forsake me. And that I can talk to him. I can listen to him. And I can become all that he wants me to be. Because I think Christmas time is God's way of saying, you know what, here is something just for you. Here's a gift that I have given just for you. Have you ever purchased something for someone, you know, just for them? You know, just this morning, Connie said to me, she said, John, I was in State College the other day, and I was at the store, and they had this this fire truck bookshelf. And she said, I thought that you might like to get it for Jack. And she said, I actually meant to text you because I'm like, oh, I can go to State College after church today. You know, I mean, right away, you know, when you think of something or you see something or you realize something, and it might be just the right thing for someone in your life, someone that you love, someone that you care about. You know, just the other day, I was in a jewelry store and I saw this 6-carat diamond ring and I thought of Arlene. Just kidding. I did think of Arlene, but I didn't think of buying it. Here's something just for you. You see, at Christmas time, folks, when we gather around the tree or we gather around the manger scene and we look at this beautiful depiction of what God has done, what it means is that, yes, God is for us, but also that God is with us. And because God is with us, we can talk with him. We can listen to him. We can come to understand that this is just for you. Just for me. You see, that's God. And that's what he wants to be for us. You know, years ago, when I was in sixth grade, I had a friend. His name was Barry. And Barry was, I was always a tall kid. I was taller than a lot of the kids. And Barry was always much shorter than all the kids. I literally was like a foot taller than Barry. And we were in a gym class one day. This boy, Gary Heron, and I guess he doesn't subscribe to our podcast, so I guess I could use his name 40 years later, can I? Or 50 years later, how long ago that's been? It's been a long time ago, wow. Anyway, he kind of jumped on my friend Barry. And he was kind of beating on him. And the coach grabbed him and separated them. And while the coach was holding this boy, I decided I was going to step in and I was going to be the hero. Okay? I was going to step in. I was going to protect the integrity of my friend. And I stepped in and I said, turn him loose, coach. I'll take care of him. And he did. And all of a sudden, this guy, he started wailing on me. I mean to tell you, I won't tell you the whole story graphically, but he beat me up right there. It was amazing. You know, I was wanting to step in and save the day, and I stepped in and got myself beat up, okay? Years later, true story, years later, that teacher that had separated them and had turned him loose on me, he came. I went back to my hometown, and I was preaching at my home church. And this teacher had heard about it, whatever, some way, and he came to church that Sunday. He didn't attend the church, but he came that Sunday with he and his wife. And I saw him out there, and it was so neat to see Mr. Ely, you know, after all these years. After it was over with, I was standing at the back door. Arlene was with me, and we were talking to people. And Mr. Ely came up, and he said, Johnny, that's what he called me. He said, Johnny, he said, it was all I could do to not stand up during your message this morning and scream out, turn him loose, coach, I'll get him. And I said, I'm really glad you didn't do that, okay? I mean, have you ever felt like that you just want to step in and save the day, but then it doesn't go quite the way you planned? You said that didn't happen to God. God stepped into our messy situation. God stepped in to our lives at our point of need and gave us the very thing that we needed most of all, the thing that we couldn't achieve ourselves. God sent his son to be born of a virgin and to die a cruel death on a cross for your sins and mine. And while we might see all kinds of circumstances where we try to save the day and it doesn't work out, Jesus comes into our life and he says, this is the gift just for you. And you know what, folks? Kids understand gifts so much better than we do. And I think as believers today, we just need to have the heart of a child, the mind of a child, the love of a child, and realize that what we receive here from God is exactly what God wants us to have at Christmas, and it's the thing that we need the most. Matter of fact, in this thought, the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, "Praise be to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles with comfort, so that we can then comfort others with the same comfort that we've received from God." You see, the gift that God gives us at Christmas, God wants us to continue to give it. Isaiah 66 verse 13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." And you see, folks, what many times we try to do in life and fail miserably, God comes in and does enormous, gives us enormous favor and gives us tremendous strength from Him. And you see, folks, when you get this gift from God, realize that it's a gift God gives just for you. So in reality, Emmanuel means enjoying the presence of God. It means enjoying the presence of God. I mean, have you ever gotten something and you enjoy it so much because you know who it's from and why that person gave that to you? It's amazing. I remember as a kid, I wanted a 10-speed bike. And I'll never forget the Christmas morning when I got up and I had my 10-speed bike. And to this day, I've often wondered, I even asked my sisters one time recently, you know, how did Mom get that bike for me? Because it was exactly what I wanted. That wasn't a new one, it was a used one, and I have no idea where she got it. But she knew I wanted it so badly. And it wasn't something that we could afford. It wasn't something I ever thought I would get. But her love is what enabled that gift to be a reality for me. And the same is true with God. Matter of fact, there's a couple of passages of scriptures that I think speak to this so well. Psalm 16, Proverbs 8. I didn't write them here for you, but I want you to look at them in your Bible because I really wanted to encourage you to mark these two verses in your Bible. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." You see, that's what we get at Christmas. We get this joy because we are in the presence of God, because of the presence that God has given to us. Proverbs 8, verse 30 says, "I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in your presence." You see, folks, when we understand this gift that God has given just for us, this Emmanuel, this God with us, then what it creates in your life, in my life, is joy. Joy that lasts a lifetime. Let me back up and ask you a question again that I asked earlier. How often do you have a moment with God? You know, I ask that because I want to encourage you not to have moments with God. I mean, really? I mean, is that why God came and became a babe in Bethlehem? Because of a moment? We shouldn't just have a moment with God. It's not about a minute. It's not about an hour. It's not about a day or a week or a month or a year. What we need to know is that God came and was born of a virgin. He was Emmanuel, God with us, so that we would have Him forever. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there with and for you." We need to understand that God invites us to do life with Him and to spend every moment of every day for our entire lives in His presence and appreciating the gifts that He gives us. So my encouragement to you, my encouragement to all of us here today is that we embrace that. that God is with us, that we don't have to fear because He is with us, that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us, that it's not about a moment with God, it's about a lifetime with God. And if God is with me, then I can talk with Him. I can listen to his words. And by listening to Him, I will understand that He is saying to me that this is the gift just for you. And then we will be changed for all of eternity, because we know and understand and appreciate that, just like a little child. You know, I hope that we are like children this Christmas, and that we appreciate that God is for us, that God is with us, as children can so easily do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for a great day, Lord, for a beautiful morning, for a wonderful time, Lord, to reflect on the joys of Christmas and the beauty of the gift that You gave. And God, I pray that every person here today could have the heart of a child, and that, Lord, we could look and accept by faith this beautiful gift that You have given to us. And that, God, when you said, call Him Emmanuel, for God is with us, that it really was all about Your presence. That, God, before we can ever experience and appreciate Your power, we have to understand and love Your presence. So, Lord, I pray that this holiday season that we could learn through the faith of a child how important it is to know, Lord, the glories of this holiday and the beauty, Lord, of You being with us. That, Lord, You not only were born among us and walked among us, but that, Father, You declare that we will be with You for all of eternity. That even though You've gone back to the Father, that You left Your wonderful Spirit here to live in us. So really, Father, from now through all eternity, we will never be separated from You. So may our understanding of that not be about catching moments in Your presence, but, Lord, appreciating a kind of existence 24/7, 365 in Your presence. So, Lord, I pray that we would all have that and know that and appreciate that in an abundance today. And God, just bless us now as we share and as we sing. And may all of us, Lord, in this auditorium this morning, by faith, put our trust in You. And just learn to appreciate, Lord, the great gift that You've given us in the person of Your Son and our Savior, even Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.